name, the wonderful kind name of Jesus. We appreciate you, that you're out there watching, listening, being blessed. And so we're kind of the privilege again to come to you with the bread of life. Wow, 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 wow. The water that quenches every thirst. And you know that's what folks are looking for. They're thirsty, they're hungry. They try this and try that and try the other, try this and the other. Try Jesus. He satisfies. Amen. 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 All right, open your Bible, book of Genesis, Genesis 42. Let's get a glimpse again of the desire of God that his people prosper. He told the Apostle John, I wish above all things, or he spoke through the Apostle John, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even that your soul prospers. That's God's desire. Amen. Jesus said, if you, being evil, meaning being natural, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? How much more? Amen. And so he has led us to go through the scriptures. We are still in Genesis, but oh, glory. Get glimpses of his will on this subject matter. And one of these days we'll have seminars and teach for hours on it, but glory be to God. So Genesis chapter number 42, look at verse 25. Last week we talked about how that Joseph, of course, has recognized his brothers. They don't know who he is. They couldn't have imagined it would be him, right? Their little brother. That, you know, nonsensical dream of his. When his braggadocious self thinks he's better than us. Let's kill him. Send him to slavery or something. They could never have imagined that was him. That's him, really? But he knew them, and so he concocted a plan to make sure that he was talking to the right group of people and had them go bring his youngest brother. And so in the meantime, he sends them back with provision. And verse 25 says, then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn. I like that word, fill. Huh? That's the will of God. Not half, not, you know, room to spare. Fill, full. You should say, keep saying, I suggest you start saying what I've been saying. Every time I drive up, I'm going to fill up the gas station. I don't care if it's $10 a gallon. Glory to God. Fill it up. Hallelujah. By the way, did you know they say if you fill up your tank, you get more per mileage than if you didn't? Back in the day, boy, it took a dollar or two, but they're like, let's just get to tomorrow, okay? Let's just put $2, let's get to tomorrow. Woo! Hasn't Jesus been good? Glory to God. Now we can just pull up, get the thing out, stick in our, you know, a gallon hole and get on a cell phone and be like, it doesn't matter what that thing says. Woo, glory. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Fill their sacks. That's God's will. Fill their sacks with corn. And then restore every man's money into his sack. You got to be, title-ish, blessed to be a blessing, living in the overflow. Man, my. You got to be living in the overflow to do that. To give things away for free that are precious. This day is famine. This stuff's expensive. Amen? He says, fill up the sacks and give them their money back. You can't do that if you're barely making it. Hallelujah. That's God's will for us. Every day, all day long, every year,
ever increasing wealth, ever increasing bottom line. That's his plan. That's his will. And if we believe him, we can enjoy him all the days of our lives. And here's one area where we don't. We're getting his way. The way we are thinking about the future. We start thinking about how old we are and how much we've got saved and how long is that going to last. And, you know, get all this media. I don't know how many times, cell phone. You don't even look. Here comes. If you've got $1 million, invest. Yes. I'm like, shut up. I got more than that. More than you could invest. Woo. Our thinking. And I'm gonna mention that minute here. But God's will is to fill our sacks. Hallelujah. Every day, where it's overflowing. Joseph's sacks were filled overflowing. It's why he could fill their sacks to overflow. And then give their money back. And God's abundance, it begins to show. First with your family, no doubt. Huh? But it ought not stop there. It ought not stop there. Thank you, Lord. Life is great when you can buy anything you want. Go on any vacation you want and pay off all your cash. We're planning right now to go on a ski trip. I'm like, I want to ski before Jesus returns. I mean, you know, not just for white folk. What's up with that? Let me see what. There must be fun there too. So we're planning to go on a ski trip, taking our grandkids with us. Believing for it. Amen. Hallelujah. I know I told you that, but I just did. But it's part of expectation, you know? I mean, some things, you say, well, I don't know if I, have you tried it? Have you tried it? You might enjoy it. Go back every year. Just gliding through that stuff. We're not going to be gliding the first time. We're going to get some blessings first, but. Amen. But what's better is living in the overflow. Huh? Living in the overflow. Receiving the blessing. Way more than enough for just you. So you can be a blessing. Joseph was a blessing. Beyond himself. Beyond himself. Here's a man who was used by God to safeguard an entire country. And then beyond that, all the countries around came to Egypt. You could say they came to Joseph. My. Imagine that. Again, expectation. Expectation. Huh? Can you let your mind think that far out? Out there. Out of the boat. Walking in the water of faith and expectation. What have you got to lose anyway? Huh? What have you got to lose? Nothing. So just let it go. Let it go. God has the resources. We know that, do we not? He has given the resources. We know that too. 2 Peter tells us that. God is looking for receivers who will be, in turn, distribution centers. That's what Joseph became. Hallelujah. Remember now, remember what he received. He received revelation about dreams that God gave Pharaoh. He received a word from God and acted on it. And that's what brought all this to pass. And we are, oh Jesus, we are better positioned than Joseph to receive a word from God.
My. Because we operate in a better covenant. Look at Hebrews chapter 8. Let me remind you of it. Sometimes that's another area your mind has to be willing to take a hold of. That you actually have a better covenant than Abraham walked in. Now, he helped make it possible, no doubt. But he didn't have this. The blood of Jesus hadn't been shed. As great a man of God as he was. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 6. But now hath he obtained, talk about Jesus. Jesus has obtained a more excellent ministry than all of them put together. By how much more? Also, he is a mediator of a better covenant. Better than the old covenant. Better than Noah's covenant. Better than any other covenant that's ever been. There's never going to be a covenant better than this one. Because there's no other covenant that is guaranteed by the blood of God. Which was established upon better promises. Better. Better. Better than what Joseph had. And so we're in a place to receive revelation from God regarding our finances. I mean, a few weeks ago, I got this strange, what looked to me like, Lord, is this really you? Strange instruction to drastically cut down our offering. I thought, Lord, is this you or the devil? But you know, when you've been walking with him for a while, you kind of know. If you're honest with yourself, you kind of know. Just because it's different doesn't mean it's not him. Sometimes that's proof that it's him. And so we obey. And short after that, he says, send this to so-and-so. And then short after that, we find out a mother was about to be kicked out of the home with two children. Do this and do that for her. You know, I'm like, oh, okay, Lord. You just really wanted us to redirect our giving here. Hallelujah. To be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. That's what Joseph was. That's what we have to expect of ourselves. It's not enough just because you've got your own, you know, stuff. Not enough. It wasn't enough for Jesus because he was set in heaven. He came and died for us. He didn't die for himself. And when Christians won't even allow themselves to obey God enough to get going good. And hear God speaking about you, be way beyond you. Remember now, just because you can't get a tax deduction for something doesn't mean it's giving. It's not giving. You know, we get caught up with this tax deduction business. Huh? If God tells you to give, that's you can believe for doesn't matter if it's your child, your brother, your sister, your neighbor, whoever it is. When God tells you to give, you can expect a return. Amen. Just because you don't get tax deduction. What if this is, what would happen if the IRS decided to not give any more tax deductions? Are you going to quit giving? I like heaven's deduction myself. Hallelujah. Okay. So God has the resources. He's looking for receivers who will be distribution centers. Huh? Such as your family doesn't have to stop there. Determined to be such a distribution center. I mean, you know, for those of us who are established givers, we can get in a rut, you know, and we got our plans and so forth. Be open to the Lord giving instructions. Amen. He might want to shake your finances up. For the better now. He never does stuff like that for the worse. So determined to be one. To commit to the love walk. He said, now what does that got to do with giving? Well, everything. For God so loved that he gave. This is the only reason to give. Motivated by love. I mean, you know. So, love has everything to do with giving. If it's not love, it's not giving. It's an exercise in pride and showmanship. And you thinking, showing how much better off you are than somebody else. Amen. If it's not love. So commit to the love walk. Amen. Jesus. Romans 13 verse 8, the Bible says, oh, no mind anything but love. Look at that. Nothing. I'm just going to flow. Like BW. Woo. Hallelujah. Bible says to follow those who are going to be on you as they follow the Lord. Who are good examples. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
As a congregation, we set ourselves and agree for BW's total, complete, manifested in you.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
You get up and get out of there, Mr. Devil. Thank you, Father.
Thank you,
Lord. Amen. Romans 13:8. It says, oh, no mind anything, but to love one another. Huh? If you read the verses before that, it's talking about paying your taxes and giving tribute to whom tribute is due and all that. And it says, oh, no mind anything, but to love one another. And we've been taught about this regarding owing people material things. But the biggest part of this is the love debt. Huh? When someone hurts you and you refuse to forgive them, you owe them forgiveness. Did you know that? Amen. You owe everybody who has hurt you forgiveness. Doesn't matter if they ask for it or not. You owe them forgiveness according to that scripture. And if you won't forgive, it doesn't matter how out of debt you are, financially, materially, you haven't even begun. This is the most important debt. This is the most, say a different word. This is the worst debt you can be in. Amen. Oh, no mind anything. Love one another. See, so then love is what you give to everybody. Huh? And if you give this gift of love, it's easy to give the gift of dollars and cents. Very easy. Hallelujah. Amen. So anybody have a problem with tithing? The real problem is that lot right there. Love. I didn't write the book. I'm just teaching from it. Amen. Oh, Jesus. You don't know why the church is poor? That's it right there. That's it. We won't do what God wants us to do as a group of people. Everybody knows that as a group, Jews are relatively successful. I mean, they seem to be on top of everything wherever they are. That's the natural example of what God wants to make of the church. But we just won't obey Him. Nickel and dime Him. And then on the tide, all coming. And this and that and the other. Lord Jesus, forgive us. It's an issue of love. That's what it is. Would you give 10% of your income to pay doctor bills for your brother, sister, child, nephew, niece, and all that? Would you? Why? You love them. But what's the issue with God? I mean, it's a tithe. It's not 50% or 90%. It lets you keep the 90. What's the problem? Well, I just don't have enough. Yeah, that's your problem right there. That's the reason why you're never going to have enough. That came right from heaven. You can receive it or not. It's up to you. Commit to the love walk. Commit to not owe anyone the gift of forgiveness. Amen. The worst debt that you could owe any bank, worse than that, times a gazillion. Amen. Commit to love walk. Commit to total obedience in your giving. Look at the book of Acts chapter 20. We talk about walking in the overflow. Blessed to be a blessing. Not just about us. Huh? It is about us, but not only about us. He told Abraham way back, I'm going to bless you, not just for your sake. I'm going to bless you and make you a blessing. It's as much for the sake of those other people that it is for you. You know me, they don't. So I'm going to access them through you. But that's it. Acts number chapter what? 20, that's right. Look at verse 35. Here's a scripture that where Paul quotes Jesus, and there's no evidence in any part of the scripture that he said it, but he did. That's why he quoted it. Acts 20:35. I have showed you all things. This is Paul talking to the Ephesian Christians. He'd been visiting with them, and so these are his last remarks before he departs. And in the course of that, he says, I've showed you all things, how that no, but so laboring, you ought to support the weak, means the poor, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Did you know none of the Gospels quote Jesus saying that? What did he say? Of course he did. Scriptures don't contain everything Jesus did or said. This is just a synopsis of the things that he said and did that we must know about. That's all it is. Oh yeah. In fact, and remember now, this is the book of Luke. Luke wrote the book of Acts and is quoting Paul here. Paul is quoting Jesus, and Paul was not even one of the original 12. So these things are commonly known, which also gives you an insight as to people said, how do we know? That's what Jesus said. Come on now. Do you know that Napoleon ever said anything? Or Julius Caesar ever said anything? How do you know hey, that's what he said either? Come on. Amen. Okay, if you look at the end of the book of John, John makes it lets us know exactly that what we're reading is not anything Jesus did. The last book of John, the last chapter of John, John 21:25, it says, and there are many other things, many other things, which Jesus did and also said, the which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the Word itself could not contain the books. Huh? So what we've written here is the synopsis of the things he said and did that is more important than anything else that we have to know about. And so when Paul quotes it here, and you look through the Gospels, and you're like, Jesus, the Gospel didn't say he said, well, the Gospel doesn't record everything he said. But it lets us know that what is recorded is what was commonly agreed that he said. And those who heard him say must have told Paul that he said it, and Luke records it for us. More blessed to give than to receive. Is it? Is it? More blessed to give than to receive? I'm good for Jesus. I don't know about him. he didn't say he wasn't blessed to receive. Huh? He said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Is it? Yes. Why? Because only that which you give can be multiplied. As simple as that.
that which you receive, it can't be multiplied as long as you receive it and keep it. It doesn't mean you shouldn't keep some of it. You're supposed to give a whole lot of it. Go back to that 90% we talked about earlier. But only that which you give can be blessed. And only that which you give can bless other people. That's why it's more blessed. to give and to receive. Not that it's not blessed to receive. Of course, we all like to receive. Thank you very much. Amen. So commit to the love walk. Commit to total obedience. And then commit to expect more finances. This is where those of us who are established givers miss it a whole lot of times. Our expectation. So I command you to begin to seek God about expect. What does it mean to expect? Think about it. What's going on in you when you expect a friend's visit? Okay, take all that and apply it to expecting more from God. Hallelujah. I believe it's a big key to those of us who are giving. And us seeing the kind of return that we should see. Expectation is a huge key. It's a huge key. And this is what will take us further into being more blessed and being more of a blessing than ever. This is a big key as far as us getting to the overflow. My goodness. I have a sense of this, a little sense. Everything I think about, I remember when I just graduated from college in Nigeria, got this wonderful job because my dad's, you know, connections and the law. I was a believer back then, but I was backsliding, but you know. Yeah. And landed this job in this department of government. And then became the secretary of the tenders board. This is the board where the contractors came to lobby to get contracts. I had nothing to do with them getting or not getting, but don't tell them that. Because I'm in there with these big guys and taking the notes and all that, so I'm one of them. Makes me wonder how much they give them, right? And without fail, every Friday evening, you know, I've got several stuffed envelopes. I'm like, no. And got to where I started saying, okay, fine, they're going to do it anyway, so I bring it over. And there were months that I didn't know when the payday was because I couldn't care less. I was floating it, man. Every time I think of it, it reminds me of that, being like that, except God's the one doing it and doing it, you know, properly and righteous and all that, you know. So I've lived that life in the natural. I've won a whole long extended period of time, but I know, we're like, oh, what, it paid it tomorrow? Yeah. I didn't notice. My goodness, that's what God wants us. Again, for not just for our sakes, but for the sake of folks who don't know Him, and He can use us as a way of reaching out to them and being a blessing to them. Amen?
Amen.
So believe past where you are. Believe past what you want. You know, believe past, you know, your level of satisfaction, self-satisfaction, because it's not just about you. There are folks out there who have no idea. They have no connection. I mean, you are to be their lifeline. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Okay, we will change gears now. And we'll receive our offerings, tithes or offerings, the case may be at the end of service. And if you'd like to help us, we have a website, www.berea.org.
GoshenChurch.org, and you can give if you're led to do so there. We don't talk about it too much because we don't want people to think we're trying to get money from them. No, we're trying to get money to you. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's an abrupt close.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Glory, 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 glory. This is our editing. We do this so we edit the two teaching separately. All right, we've been talking about demonology, the devil and demons, and this is part 7 already. Oh my. And so today I want to go to the subject of who is the devil. Who is this devil? Satan is, I didn't say was, he is, still is, a rebellious fallen angel. Every rebellion has its roots in him. I don't care if it's a 2-year-old, a teenager, a 40-year-old, 65-year-old, every rebellion is the root of it. He's a rebel with a damnable cause to kill, to steal, to destroy. And Jesus came to stop him and did stop him. In the lives of those who will receive the name of Jesus and use it on him. But he is a rebellious fallen angel who unfortunately is the God of this world. Not because he's been appointed to be God of this world, but he is. Scripture tells us that. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Just because he's God of this world doesn't mean he's God, he's your God. Ooh, glory. That's good news. Can you imagine having a God that type of character and demeanor? Mm. Oh, Lord, no. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse number 3. But if our gospel is hid, and so then, let you know right away, he is in charge of trying to hide the gospel. Not just as far as people who are born again, not just as far as being born again is concerned, of course, that too. But after you've been born again, to hide the gospel where you don't know. That you not only have been saved from hell when you die, but you have been saved from hell on earth. He hides that knowledge from Christians, which is why God has called teachers. And too much of the time, Bible teachers are into geography and the culture of the time and this and that. You know, that may have some relevance. People ought to know they are delivered from the curse of poverty, sickness, disease, spiritual death. So not only those who haven't been born again, but after you've been born again, he tries to hide the knowledge, try to hide the entire package from you. Oh, Lord. Where comes to healing? I mean, you think about healing, you think about how many, you know, commercials there are all over the place, you know, about this and that and this and the other. And they try to suggest things to you. If you're this, my arthritis, I'm like, yeah. Okay, keep it to yourself. To hide the knowledge of, he hides the gospel. So when you read there, I don't think just about being born again. It's a big part of it. That's where we start. Hide the gospel when it comes to financial prosperity. For somehow Christians not being comfortable with being rich. Rich is a dirty word in some Christian circles. And yet they read about Abraham, they read about Isaac, they read about Solomon, they read about David. Well, Jesus had no place to lay his head. Are you sure about that? Yeah, are you trying to tell me Jesus was a hobo? Really? Really? Had no place to lay his head. He was homeless. And scriptures talk about having a large horse and people came in. Did you know that those four guys who tore off that roof, that was Jesus' house? They wouldn't have dared to do that to anybody else's house. You know, Peter had a house, right? Peter had a house. He went to Peter's house when he healed Peter's mother-in-law. Peter had a house, but oh, poor Jesus didn't have a house. The devil heed the gospel, you know. But if our gospel is hid, and it is, unfortunately, to them that are lost, to them that are untaught Christians, in whom the God, that's who's doing it, the God of this world, nobody gave him that title. God the Father didn't give him that title. I'll tell you in a minute. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which receive it, which believe not. So, who's responsible for this now? See that? I mean, we read scriptures like that. If we're not watchful in word taught, we automatically assume the devil did it. The devil didn't do it. He can't do it. He ain't got that kind of power. He didn't do it. They let him. But you know, he's the God of this world. Small g. Now, think about this now. Who was it that God appointed God of this world? Adam and Eve. That's who. Huh? When you have authority, whoo, glory, over everything that flies and creeps and walks and over heaven and earth, that makes you God of this world, this earth. But they lost it. They lost it. But there it is. He's the God of this world. But oh, he's not your God.
Amen.
Unless you are of this world. He's the God of this world, which also means that God is not in control. That's a revelation to too many Christians. He said, a group of Christians, I used to have a friend like that. I mean, everything happened. God is in control. 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 No, he's not! If he were, he's doing a really bad job of it. Wouldn't you say? Huh? I mean, just to be honest about it. If he is, he is a terrible manager of this world, right? Because, I mean, killing and all sorts of stuff going on. That's because he's not in control. Because if he were, it wouldn't have been necessary for Jesus to tell us to pray. We just prayed it today. That will be done on earth. Huh? As it is in heaven.
Amen.
Christians pray all that and then say, he's in control. God's in control. No, he's not. If he were, Jesus would not have taught us to pray that his will be done on earth as in heaven. Guess what? He's in control in heaven. Huh? He's total, complete control. No doubt about it.
You get out of line, you're going to get kicked out. The devil found out. Lucifer found out. And guess what? The place where he's in control, there's no sickness, there's no disease, there's no poverty, there's no killing, there's none of that, because he is in control in heaven. There's a God of this world who's in control. Not because God has given him control, but because humans, man, gave him control. Was he in control when a storm came up there trying to drown Jesus? Was that God trying to drown his own son? Book of Mark chapter 5, you read that, you know that story. When he got up and said, "Peace be still," was Jesus working against God? When he said, "Peace be still"? No. He wasn't in control of that storm. The devil tried to kill him. One of many times he tried to kill Jesus. But he couldn't do it. And I got good news for you. Neither can he kill you either. Woo, glory. Hallelujah. If you know what you're supposed to know and go in his name, you can likewise say, "Peace be still" to cancer. Or to arthritis. To bursitis, whatever it is. Hallelujah. No, God's not in control. He's only in control when he's allowed to be in control. To control the life of believers, but even then, not 24/7. Every time you sin, every time I sin, we took control of our lives, didn't we? God wasn't in control then. Think about it. Every time you sin, every time I sin, I wrest control from God of my life. Or I've never have sinned. Neither have you, you will have. So this is about, no, there is a God of this one. Guess what? He is also the tempter. There is a God of this world. If we're not, Jesus would not have taught us to pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's because Jesus knows that God's will is not being done on earth. Amen. God is not in control of the gangs. He's not in control of the mafia. You see? He's not in control of the terrorists. Bank robbers. Murderers. He's not in control of all that. God is not in control of Hamas. Huh? This is a different tune. I know I'm getting a little political there, but yeah, this is, it has to be said. When they slaughtered 1,200 Jews and took 200 of them hostage, you think God told them to do that? He's not in control. How come he didn't stop it? Because he's not in control. That's why he didn't stop it. When they beheaded some of those people, imagine that, beheading. And then recorded and put it on social media. God did that? To his own people? Took some hostage? No. Killed some of them before they killed the parents before the kids. We're talking about execution. Pow! Killed the kids in front of their parents. God didn't do that. He's not in control. My. Now here's something else. If you're a Christian and you don't love the Jews, brother, you got to read the New Testament again. I mean, some of you may find that controversial, but it's biblical. God loves them. Jesus loves them. Paul loves them. How about you? Yeah, well, you know, I love the Jews. It's the state of Israel, though. That's like saying I love Americans, I don't like America. We're not talking about you agreeing with everything the government does. You don't agree with everything you do. Do you? I don't. at the time I'm doing that, you know, but, you know, you, so we're not talking about you agree with everything the government does. But that's a nation he founded. You just got to look at the history of it. Yeah, but for the help of America, well, you, why do you think America helped them? So as a believer, if you read the New Testament, you can read Romans chapter 10. There should not be any group of people that you have love, more love for as a believer than the Jews. Absolutely not. That's God's heart. Jesus' heart. Now, I'm not talking about condoning any kind of stuff. You know, like I said, you love yourself, do you not? You should. The Bible says you should. Love others like you love yourself. And yeah, you don't lack some stuff, you do. Amen. So this artificial separation, well, yeah, I love the Jews, but any Israel. No. You're getting into like. Nobody is asking you to like Israel. It happens to be the nation God founded for them. So anyway, God didn't do any of that. Okay, let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 now. Well, we're still there. So look what it says now. It says, in whom, I started to talk about it earlier, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. So you read that, you think the devil blinded the minds of them who believe not. The key is, look at the last couple of words there, which believe not. Huh? That is where the devil got the power to blind their minds. The progression is not, they believed not, and the progression is not the devil blinded their minds and they believe not. Oh, no. The believe not came first. We talked about choices last week. Making a choice. The devil made the wrong choice in heaven. The sin of pride, of envy, of jealousy, of selfishness. He wanted all that glory. He made the wrong choice. And people who choose not to believe consequently empower the devil to blind their minds. That's how it happens. So he's not the God of this world because God made him. He's that because a multiplicity of men have made him that. That's all there is to it. Which is why you as a person can choose to say, you ain't my God. And he would be powerless for your concern. Bible says he walks about seeking whom he may devour. That's because he can't devour just anybody he wants to. So they chose not to believe what they hear. And then they reap their harvest of the blindness of their minds. That's all that is. The blinding of their minds is the harvest of their choice not to believe. So what's the solution? To allow the light of the glorious gospel to go through. How would they get there? By choosing to believe. See, that comes down to choice again. If you choose to believe, you allow the light of the gospel to come in and you reap the benefits, the harvest of believing. If you choose not to believe, that your mind is closed and you reap the harvest of the blindness of your mind. In a nutshell, that's the operation of the devil. And it also puts us in charge of our lives. And he explains why he's the God of this world. God, I say it again, I've said it 2-3 times already. God did not appoint him. El Shaddai, El Elyon, the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Shina, did not appoint the devil god of this world. He became that. And he operates as such only because man lets him. Look at Matthew 13. So we're talking about who the devil is. So we're also getting into, it's impossible to talk about that without getting into how he does what he does and so on. But we'll concentrate on those parts as we go along with the series here. Look at Matthew 13. I want to drive this into your spirit. How this happens. And so Jesus, as you know, taught in parables a lot. So verse 10, his disciples came to him and said, "Why are you speaking to them in parables?" Then it says, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries." And so you read that and you think God is haphazardly saying, "Hey, you can understand, but you can't." And no, it doesn't work like that at all. If it did, it would be wrong, right? He would be impartial. I mean, he would be partial. Guess who is talking? It says, "To you is giving." Well, guess who they are? They chose to believe in him and become his disciples. And are reaping the benefits of that. So that is, their choice makes a difference. So does yours. So does mine. "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him..." And then you read that and you're like, that doesn't sound right. Why is God doing that? God is not doing any such thing. They are doing it to themselves. If you do, kind of like money. You take money, you invest it, you get more money. Do you not? You take it, you don't invest it, you spend it, you like what you get. You get less money. You hear God's word, you believe it, it gives you more avenue, more revelation. How many times have you heard me pray? Thank you for further revelation about this. Amen. But you shrink from that, well, guess what? You don't stand static. You shrink from that, you're going to keep going back. Huh? The devil will see to it. Because you are reaping the harvest of less and less and less illumination. That's how it works. It's good news because we are in charge. He said, "That's why I speak them in parables. Because they see not. Whose fault is this? They see not. Why not? Not that interested. Heart's not there. Have you been talking to someone, they're standing there looking at you, but you got a sense they're not even comprehending what you're saying? How many times have we all said that to someone? Because their mind is someplace else. Waiting for you to stop so they can have their say. That's not God doing this. Hearing, they hear not. In other words, they're hearing the words, but it's not sinking. It's not going in. Or like we say sometimes, going one ear, coming out the other. Why not? Because they haven't decided to let it go in one ear and then keep it. And then it gets to verse 40. It says, "In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing you hear, you shall hear, and shall not understand." And you think, why not? You just keep reading. He'll tell you exactly why not. "Seeing, you shall see and shall not perceive. For these people's heart," you see that? It's a heart issue. "Their heart is waxed gross." It tells you a process. It didn't begin that way. But the less they paid attention, the less they were willing to believe, the more waxed the heart became. "And their ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes They have closed. God didn't close it. They did it. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, should be converted, and I should heal them. They have closed. Amen. So, God's not the one doing it. Look at Acts chapter 28. God didn't make him the God of this world. Man did. God made man the God of this world. Gave him power over everything that creeps, swims, every heaven and earth. I mean, all of the earth. And he blew it. Don't blame God. There's a God of this world. The God of heaven and earth is not in control. Look at Acts 28, verse number. This chapter talks about Paul. Paul is finally in Rome. He's been he appealed his case to Rome, to Caesar. So he got to Rome. And when he gets there, he calls the leaders of the Jews together in Rome to tell them, hey, I'm not here to accuse the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem against Rome. I'm not trying to badmouth our people, okay? They were about to slaughter me. I had no choice but to appeal to Caesar. And then he starts to tell them about what's been happening and so forth, okay? And he process all of that, he gets to verse 24. When he finishes speaking to them, look at verse 23. And when they had appointed him a day, they came, many of him, into his lodging, to whom he expounded. There you go. Paul had lodging, but Jesus didn't. See that? To whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading, that is what people said. Now, you just hear me say that. I didn't hear the rest of it. Okay? Persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. Huh? That's what it boils down to. Every time God's word is proclaimed, some people believe it, some people do not. And those who believe it reap the harvest of that. And those who don't reap the harvest of their minds being closed. We're trying to tell you, how come those people's minds are closed? It's not because the devil is this super powerful being, can just go about closing people's minds. Uh-uh. Doesn't have that kind of power. You have to make a choice not to believe God's word. When you do that, you are at his mercy. Amen. Amen. In fact, look at this now. Look at, I believe it's, help me, Jesus. Let me find it. Thank you, Lord. I believe it's 1 Timothy. Thank you, Lord. Scripture says that taken captive of him at his own will, because they involve getting strife. It's 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy 2 verse 23. But foolish and unknown questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Huh? They can recover themselves if they stay out of strife. And so then being in strife empowers the devil. Huh? He's not this
super duper powerful being that can just run rough through your life, whether you like it or not. He has to get your cooperation. You have to turn away from God, from God's word, from his instructions to you, all of that. And if you turn away from God, you turn directly to the devil. There's no other place. But if you don't, he can recover himself. At any point in time, you can turn around and say, oh, I've gone down that devil road far enough. And turn back. Begin to hear God's word. And he cannot stop you. He cannot at any point say, too bad, you're mine, I gotta keep you. No.
Amen.
He can't. The blood of Jesus guarantees he can't.
Amen. Amen.
Gives you that choice. At any point in time, you can turn around and start the prodigal son. Remember the prodigal son? When the Bible said, when he came to himself,
amen,
and he realized, what am I doing here? I know in my father's house, even the servants have plenty to eat. I'm going back home. The devil couldn't stop it. So, he, when the Bible says he's the God of this world, don't you get the idea that he just has all this power, he just goes, no, unless you let him. And the power that he has in the lives of people is because they let him. That's it. But you don't have to. I don't have to. So, when you see God of this world, read that. Like they say, take that in the advisement, under advisement. Amen. Take it under advisement. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, time to go. Okay. Look at this one verse, and then we'll look at Romans chapter 1. He may be the God of this world. He is. He ain't my God. Glory to God. Not yours either. If you have received Jesus as Lord and Savior, you've got a new God on the throne. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God, the judgment of God, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. What does that mean? They know the truth, but won't believe it. They hold the truth in unrighteousness. They know it, just won't believe it. They know what grandma said is so. They saw it in grandma's life, but they just won't believe it. Because it was going to mess up with their plans. And you read the rest of that, it's the choice. The choices they made. Again, so just because he's God of this world, and he is, but not because God, Father, Father in heaven created or appointed him to be God of this world, he is because Adam and Eve led him, and he continues to be today only because man lets him. That's it. He has no authority from heaven. He hasn't been deputized. No. And so remember now, you be the boss. Because Jesus got your back.
Amen.
He shed his blood for that. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. I did say that was my last scripture, right? Okay. So we'll end on that point. I never run out of material. I was just run out of time. That's kind of God. God, did you know God never runs out of love? His mercy never runs out. He just runs out of time. There's coming a time when he has to shut things up. Oh, my. Oh my. See, if I were you, I'm getting right quick. Today, not tomorrow. Not tomorrow. There is a God of this world. And it's raining curses. Jesus is your insurance policy. Glory to God. He can't touch you. But first you got to get born again. You have to get born again. And that's easy to do. The only reason why it's easy to do is because he did the hard part. He died. He bled. He hung on the cross until it was done. Until the Old Testament was done. And then he went to hell. Oh yeah, he went to hell. If you doubt that, read the second chapter, book of Acts. He did. If he hadn't gone, you would have had to go. He took your place. He was your substitute. Because he loves you. And then he made sure that death could not hold him. He was resurrected. Again, for your benefit and mine. And he's sitting right now as we speak on the throne of God, the right hand of God, the Bible says. Guess what? Praying for you, making intercession that you would realize what he has done for you and give him a chance to be your tour guide through this life. Which is what the chance I'm presenting to you. So, he did the hard part. The easy part for you to, with a sincere heart, with faith in your heart, receive him. How do you do that? I'm glad you asked. All you have to do is repeat these words after me and mean them. That's the key. Not just blabbing some words, but meaning what you said. Say, Jesus, I invite you to come into my heart and to be my Lord and to be my Savior. I receive your sacrifice on my behalf. I receive my prayer language. I receive direction to join a church where I will be taught all of the benefits that accrue to me because you died for me. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus to die for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. My friend, if you pray that prayer, he did exactly what he said. You are now born again. Doesn't matter if you don't feel any different. You might. That might makes no difference what you feel. If you say that prayer in faith, you're now born again. And so, like we pray, find a church home. Begin to read the book, the New Testament. I suggest begin the book of John. You can begin anywhere. And then find you a church that will teach you. How do you know that? You can visit a few churches and then be led. And you can visit this one. We invite you to, actually. If you live anywhere in the Austin area, come visit us. Amen. If not, keep watching, keep listening, because we'll be back. Take some time. That's next week. We love you. Amen. Glory to God.